Blog Talk Radio.
Go!
I want to thank you all for tuning in to Mystic Records Radio. We are nonstop punk rock, so here you go with another back-to-back with Bleed. A moment to talk about Queen Elizabeth, who reigned for 70 years as Britain's monarch, and sadly she passed away Thursday at her estate in the Scottish Highlands, 96 years old. And you know, it just goes to show you what a woman can do with a country and have so many people love her and admire her for all of the wonderful accomplishments that she had, and the charity work and the good, all good things that she did. And I just want to celebrate her life. She was a wonderful woman. Cheers to the ladies. Play Vomit.
Sitting in the back room waiting for a man to come. It's the time of the time when you feel like you need a gun. There's a man in the corner, says he's doing time. We're all the same, you read between the lines. Check the mirror. Place I can go home, free to be, stand above all the
Queen Elizabeth managed several tasks in directly without any real authority, you know, but they're very impressive. And some of her notable accomplishments were starting with her as a 13-year-old being in London, her service in World War II, you know. When the war broke out in 1939, Princess was only 13 years old. And as noted in the National World War II Museum, when Buckingham Palace was bombed during the Blitz in 1940, her father, King George VI, and his wife Elizabeth remained there in solidarity with the rest of the population. But the Princess Elizabeth and Margaret were evacuated to Windsor Castle, like 20 miles away. And as the war dragged on, Elizabeth felt a keen sense of duty, according to biography. She wanted to enlist as soon as she became of age in 1944. The royal family couldn't allow her to put the throne in danger. But Elizabeth refused to take no for an answer, and she kept pushing. And in 1945, she was 18 years old. Elizabeth was given permission to join the military, and she joined the Women's Auxiliary Territory Service and trained for 6 weeks as an auto mechanic. You know, time notes that this wasn't a combat role, but that doesn't mean it didn't come with risk. At least 335 members of the Auxiliary Territory Service were killed during the war. And the young princess, her dedication to her country and her willingness to serve like anyone else, well, almost. She did get to home at Windsor Castle every night at sleep. You know, making her extremely popular and sparked a lifelong love of cars and mechanical work. So, you know, you never know, all right? So, moving on. right, that was two back-to-back by the Hymen Blasters, also known as THB. Here we go.
Messenger of God, you don't need to stay here.
Are dead. Nick.
Freedom, the reward, 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 the
confused. No more wars. I want a beer. You know, I've just got to get this soundboard fixed. I need to remove some old songs and put some newer songs up on here, and hopefully that'll stop all that static that goes on. Gee whiz. Oh, yeah.
Is that fucked up? You want to do it again?
Yep. White Flag, Cops from Hell. Let me see. All right, here we go. Mentors, Copulation.
Listen, everybody, you must understand. It's happening outside the Cafe P. Grand. Beer is too expensive and you're poor. Go head down to the liquor store.
Better listen now, or you're going to be in a cell at the police hotel.
Buy a torpedo of Colt 45. The dinosaur fuel will keep you alive. Then head back to the parking lot and smirk a skinhead drinking gut rot. Kick your butt, they don't like your hair.
Thank you. you're gonna be a prison bitch.
Yeah.
Okay, let me see. Where are we at? Corporate greed. Here we go. Okay, so I'm going to make it on my top priority list to fix my soundboard. Crankshaft, License to Kill. Crankshaft with Lino on vocals. Now we're going to move on to the new Crankshaft, Crazy. To go away. I do apologize for that. I wasn't paying attention here. Okay, so my soundboard is messed up and I've got to get it fixed. And since I'm live on the air right now, well, I can't work on it. And Well, if I wasn't on the air, I would probably still not be working on it because, yeah, it's one of those things that's, like, boring. All right, double play with Dave Anger on vocals. Crank down. I have this song listed, Time is Running Out. On that, but it says time is running out. I believe that's off of the Dubedio album. All right, let's give Doug Moody a call and see what Papa of Punk Rock is doing.
Hello?
Hello, Doug Moody.
Hello.
Hello. Hey, we're calling from Mystic Records Radio, and we would like to hear your views on London and Queen Elizabeth and growing up in London and what it was like during the war?
Well, I'll try to do the best I can. I am having hearing trouble today. I cannot hear properly what's going on, so sometimes I'm not making sense. I'll try the best I can. We had a wonderful queen. She was around my age. I'm now 93 years old, and I remember her becoming an ambulance driver during the war. She drove an ambulance in all through the bombing. She drove an ambulance and helped people. She was a wonderful lady. Tell you more later.
Yes, she was a wonderful lady. And what were your experiences like during the war?
Well, I was 15 years old, and I was a messenger boy, and we had to keep the telephones working on street corners. The only way we could communicate with each other was on a payphone, and they were on every where four streets crossed. We would go and make sure that those telephone boxes were available and had survived the bombing. So, being a messenger boy, I had access to inflating tires, tubes, and batteries. These were the things that you needed. Batteries. A number 8 battery was like gold. And so, being a messenger boy, I had access to extra bicycle tires, bicycle parts, and being a messenger, you were attached to an air raid warden's area, and you could be on one side of London one day or on the other side of London. You went where you were told to do messenger and report what telephones were working and what wasn't. The only way we could talk to each other was through telephone, and we had to keep the telephones on the corners working. It doesn't sound very practical, but we were able to direct the ambulances. We were directing the fire engines. And without the messenger boy service, I don't think we would have gotten through the war as easily.
Communication is very important, and you did a wonderful job.
After the war, I was in the Air Force right away, and we did the Berlin airlift, and we fed Germans, and we fed people, and
so we had the Berlin airlift right after the war. And it was funny because we signed up as the DOPE, D-O-P-E.
And when I signed up as a DOPE,
that meant duration of present emergency.
Because the Japanese war was still going on, you know. That hadn't stopped. So we were still at war in the Pacific area, and there was always fighting and shooting and everything going on in Berlin and Germany. It was no peace. And the young Jewish kids got a hold of guns, and they would shoot anybody that they didn't know what uniform they were. So you had to be very careful to make sure you wore an identifiable uniform, because you could be killed by the Jewish kids who were angry after the war, and their parents had been killed, and they were seeking revenge. So we did not have a pleasant time after the war. We were sort of doped. D-O-P-E, duration of present emergency, which meant you went under wartime conditions, but you got paid peacetime money. So I was a dope after the war, duration of present emergency, and it always struck me as funny that the first thing that they did is make swear us in as dopes. So I served as a Royal Air Force dope.
Oh. Very good. And how did you find the situation in London with your own personal experience of living and you know, continuing on in a city that had been bombarded by the Blitz?
Well, there was always places to eat. They turned a lot of the schools into eating places. And you could go in there and you got free food because all the restaurants were helping during the war. So you got free food and you could exchange your clothing. When you wanted fresh clothing, there were laundries, but we didn't have a lot of help. So whenever I needed to change of clothing, I would go to the clothing exchange, and they'd say, okay, what do you want? You want a suit and trousers? You want this or that? So I would choose clothing that I felt I was comfortable with, because I had to wear that clothing for a week or more, and I could come in and change more clothing. So there was tons of clothing stores that were run by the government and run mostly by women, and you could go in and get clean clothing. So we always had access to fresh clothing.
And after a couple of years,
nobody had the right a wholesome shirt.
Most of the backs of the shirts were cut out and made cuffs, and so you got a shirt that, under a coat, looked okay, but when you take it off,
it had no, well, it had short sleeves. So
no,
we were making do with old clothing, and women were turning men's suits into women's uniforms. So the girls had a uniform made up from men's trousers, and so more women were wearing trousers after the war than had ever been before the war. And I don't know if I'm explaining it right, but
the women
took over men's clothing.
Well, that's good, you know. They did what they needed to survive.
Yeah, and so the women ran England during the wartime, and after the war, they didn't want to go back to being just women.
They wanted to hang on to their jobs, and they wanted to hang on. They were bus drivers and ambulance drivers, and they wanted to stay that way. They didn't want to go back to pre-war. A lot of women did go back to pre-war conditions, but they mostly were so used to having a job and working with men, they liked the new style. So
we had to get used to the fact that girls were doing men's jobs. You had to get used to it.
Well, yes, because prior to that, women stayed at home and worked cleaning house and raising children, and that's a big job in itself.
Well, you always had Sunday dinner. No matter who you were, you saved all the good stuff for Sunday, and you had a Sunday dinner, and you could invite people. My grandmother always invited two or three extra people to a Sunday dinner, and I don't know how we got extra food, but we as messenger boys were wheeling and dealing and changing stuff around, and everybody would exchange things with each other. We didn't have money. Yes, there was a shortage of money, but there was no shortage of exchanging stuff.
Sure, that makes a lot of sense, and that's a good way to get along.
Batteries.
Everybody had to have a flashlight, and so
batteries were probably the most valuable thing we could trade with each other.
Good, that's really good. You know, you pull together.
Did you get a picture of what it was all like?
Well, yeah, it was. I've seen pictures of what London looked like, and it was devastated.
We had to stretch the water lines from the river, and you might be going 2 or 3 miles to the fire, stretched all along the street where the firemen connected fire hoses. You might have a mile or 2 or 3 miles worth of hoses from one fire area to another, and it was all moving the River Thames, which went all the way through the center of London, and the east end of London took the brunt of the fire, and we had every street had a hose running water all over it. So there was
wow.
The fires were fought beautifully by the water from the River Thames, and it was a wonderful job achieved by the fire department and the police and volunteers.
So how long do you think it took to bring the city of London back into normal living situations? I mean, the photographs are just devastating of rubble everywhere, and it had to have been a big effort for people to clean up.
Well, it was amazing what they built out of what was rubble and damaged buildings. The pubs opened up, and you could always get a pint of beer. So as long as the pubs were open, public drinking places, everything was okay. So
yeah,
they had to have certain hours because everybody was sharing electricity. Everybody was sharing drinking water. I mean, just getting drinking water was... You had to carry your own water bottle, so everybody had a drinking thing, and also you had to carry your own gas mask. You couldn't go anywhere without a gas mask. A policeman would jump on you right away and say, "Where's your gas mask?" So
wow.
You had to have emergency gear on you all the time. You were not alone in this world. You were watched by the police and helped by the firemen. it was a whole different world. And right after the war, the women didn't want to give up their jobs. They wanted to hang on, and they wanted to drive buses and drive ambulances. And they were very good at what they did. It just was kind of difficult to have women who said, I'm not giving up my job.
I'm not giving up my job. Well, you know.
Yeah. So living in London after the war was just as much a problem as during the war, because it took 10 years before we got even somewhere normal, back to normalcy. By that time, after 10 years, we had so many foreign people come in. We had Italian restaurants, we had Chinese restaurants, and it was just chaos, and it was very difficult for England to become what England was, because there were areas that had been bombed, and these people moving back into these areas helped each other rebuild broken buildings and broken down, and they rebuilt a lot of the damaged fireplaces. New people coming in from foreign countries, they were used to putting things together to make things work. And so we had areas in London that were Polish, or else they were Jewish, and they had areas that had been rebuilt from rubble. Quite amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, so basically the civilians took over and just started rebuilding things.
Well, that's
right?
How you had to do it. Everybody became an assistant to somebody else, and things worked out, because the British are very adept at putting things back together. They're used to working. So eventually, Saturday night became the night for partying. And
excellent.
Everybody was ready for Saturday. Every week we celebrated Saturday night.
Very good. That's awesome. Well, you know, in London right now, it's Saturday night.
Is that a picture of London rebuilding itself?
It's Saturday night in London right now, today, September 10th. Let me see. It's 12 o'clock here, so it's about 9 o'clock in London right now.
9 o'clock at night or day?
At night.
At night. Okay.
Yes. Well, so it's Saturday night in London right now. And on a typical Saturday night, what would you do, Doug Moody?
I'd go down to the pub and sing songs with everybody. You know. London Bridge is falling down, falling down, falling down. London Bridge is falling down, oh my lady. So, we would all chant, and we would have a beer. We didn't go drink lots of beer. One or two beers was enough for us to last the whole night and sing songs. And we got along very well.
We
recovered, and we helped rebuild Europe. We went over and helped rebuild them, too.
Excellent. That was a lot of work, too.
After the war, it was a lot of people helping a lot of people, and we had so many languages in London. I knew of at least 7 different languages being spoken. And we had foreign newspapers. London became cosmopolitan.
Very good, yeah. Well, it seems like it worked out well, because everyone pitched in together and helped and brought the city back up.
Yeah, well, we had some hairy experiences. I was blown up about 3 times in buildings I was in were bombed.
and I was in different parts of London every night. So, you know.
How did that make you feel?
You sort of got used to the fact that somebody had one arm or one leg, or you got used to it being wartime.
And how did you feel when buildings that you were in were bombed? I mean, what was like your first reaction?
Well, the first time I got bombed, the explosion was so pressured that I was deaf for nearly a week. I couldn't
hear properly. My ears didn't work.
And I couldn't talk to people because I wasn't hearing anything. Then all of a sudden,
my hearing came back.
So I was in three different places that got bombed, and one of them was a subway station. I went down the subway, and I went down deep, and everybody was sleeping all over the platforms, and they were just
cuddling up and, you know, doing the best thing they could. And I was down one of these places where all the people were packed all over the railway station down underneath. And
wow.
The bombs went off. They traveled downstairs. They bounced. One bomb went and bounced all the way. It went down three levels, and then it blew up. So
oh, wow.
I had experience of buildings being blown up, and I was staying at one railway. I was at one railway station, and I didn't realize that the whole roof of this railway station was glass. I was standing under a glass roof, and the policeman came and said, "You better find some place else. You're standing under a glass roof." And there I was in the railway station under a glass roof with bombs coming down, and I didn't realize I had a glass roof.
Amazing. Wow, that's amazing.
So,
you're lucky.
Anyway,
you're lucky.
I know London, and I love London, and I love England, but I'm an American now, and I think
it's wonderful to be American. I think it's a wonderful country. They accepted me, and I've had lots
of gold records, one from launching unknown artists, and
I've had a wonderful
life here, and I'm still
enjoying it.
There you go.
I am now,
absolutely,
93 years old, and looking to do something more in the music business. I don't know what I'm going to do next, but it's going to be interesting. So thank you for letting me tell you about my growing up, and I was 15 years old. So I was too young
for the war, but too old to not understand what was going on. Okay?
Right. Yep. Some
all
crazy
right.
times.
I'm hungry. I'm hungry now. I want to go get some breakfast. I want to have some sausage, which was called bangers. Now, the reason they were called bangers is you had to keep stabbing them, otherwise they blew up. They had so much bread in the sausages, they were called bangers, because if you didn't keep poking them and making them sizzle, you know, you'd be cooking sizzling sausages. They would just blow up on the frying pan. They'd go
That's
boom.
True.
And your sausage would be all over your kitchen. So you had to really pay attention to when you were cooking sausages in the morning. You had to keep poking them and letting the gas out of them. So
Well, enjoy your sausage.
I always am very careful cooking sausages because I remember wartime. You had to keep stabbing them.
Well, you enjoy your sausage, and thank you for joining us on the radio today and sharing your experiences.
Well, thank you for having me. And I want to thank you personally, Candace, because you took over. When I said to you, you're going to run Mystic, I absolutely was 100% sure that I was handing Mystic over to the right person. And my head was not clear, but my judgment was, and you've done a remarkable, wonderful job of running Mystic and saving it and having punks able to say what they want to and explain what they're doing. And I value your help to me tremendously, and I'm getting better at understanding how I fit into this world. I used to just give orders and everybody did what I said, but now I have to be very careful and fit in and help wherever I can. I love the new Mystic. It sort of runs itself. And
thank you.
We've got to help each other understand that there's room for you too. That's what
our
new motto is. There's room for you too. Okay?
Very good. All right. Well, you enjoy the rest of your day, Doug, and it was really nice talking with you. And I thank you for the lovely compliment. That really touches my heart.
Thank you, baby. Bye-bye.
Thank you. All right. Have a good day. off of the, that was actually the final conflict. All right, up next is Don Bowles, Mox News. We'll be right back. Again, here we are with Surf.
Moving
last two were Death on the Radio back to back. All right, up next is False Confession.
In your velvet dress, in the doll that
Modern Enemy, Fatal Air, Modern Enemy, beautiful red clear vinyl. Pick it up at mysticrecordshq.com. And this ain't no rock and roll.
Thank you. up, win over nothing, you have to lose it all. Then you play like crazy, crazy, the face of reality bites. No matter who you
Enjoy the rest of your day, and don't forget to party or go home. Hey. Okay, so anyway, we'll see you next time. See you later. Bye.